Welcome to Tech Talk, y'all.
Hello, hello, and welcome to Tech Talk, y'all. Season 12, episode 306 on October 13th, Friday the 13th. I'm Sanjay Parekh.
And I'm Adam Walker. Sorry, I couldn't.
You're actually, I mean, I guess it's appropriate for Friday the 13th, but it's also appropriate for Halloween, which is coming up.
Yeah.
Are we recording one on Halloween? No. Halloween's a Tuesday this year.
We'd have to talk in ghost voices the whole time. That'd be the actual rule if you record on Halloween.
I gotta imagine that there's some kind of like audio.
No. It's way more fun if you do it yourself. I can't. I gotta do the ghost voice on my own. That's a thing.
Well, then I think you should do the ghost voice this entire episode, and I'll speak
okay. I can't because we have like a million articles. It's like we're bouncing between very few articles and way too many articles each week, which I think is kind of fun. So
part of it is that we shifted our publication date, our record date this week.
Yeah, that's true.
So
yeah,
that gave us two more days.
Yeah, that's true.
And so next week it'll be back to Wednesday and it'll be two less days. So,
and I really paid attention this week. So I was like, man, I was on it. I was finding stuff. It was great. We got some really interesting stuff too, today. I'm kind of fascinated to talk about several of these. Let's just dive in. I'll start. So Gmail for Android rolling out emoji reactions coming to iOS and web. So, you know, the same way you do like little emoji reactions in Slack, you'll be able to do that in Gmail now. And I don't really think it has all that much value whatsoever. And I don't know that I'll ever use it. But hey, that's cool. Whatever.
Hey, let's figure out a way to pollute the web, or not the web, the internet even more with email reactions. Because if you're not on Gmail,
that's true. What
you're going to get is a separate email saying this person liked whatever.
And yeah.
I got to say, as a person that's on Android,
y'all
Apple people annoy me when, at least in the past, I think it's gone now, but in the past, when you had thumbs up little text messages and then we would get a full on text message saying, Adam has thumbs up this message.
I don't thumbs up your stuff. I just write back a really long paragraph that's generated by a chatbot, so that you just feel so loved and appreciated. Like that's what I do. Like
I get the warm fuzzies from
that. Hey Adam, do you want to get coffee? And it's like four paragraphs later at the end of it, I'm like, yes. So like that's the
So it's four paragraphs of explaining why you love coffee.
Well, and you, coffee and you, like, because you are such a close and flowery friend. I don't think
flowery friend,
but yeah.
So this, I feel like, is a feature that is going to just annoy people. And then
at
some point, this is going to get added on to the Google long list of things they've killed off. And in this case, it'll be a feature, not a product. And talking about a feature that they just rolled out, though, Google wins a reprieve from $32.5 million verdict in Sonos patent fight. There's actually new articles to this too, but here's the cut to the chase here. The $32.5 million was taken away from Sonos because it was found that their patent was invalidated. The next day, or maybe like 2 days later, Google releases a update for their devices to be able to group them. That was a thing that you weren't able to do on Google devices, but you were able to do on Sonos devices because Sonos supposedly had a patent and now it's been invalidated. So here's the thing. As somebody who is actually on a number of patents, I think it's like 12 or something like that.
Right.
I'm all for patents helping protect innovation and things like that. This really does feel like something that was patented. It's kind of obvious. Shouldn't have ever gotten a patent in the first place.
Right.
And also, really, this is not something that's core to your business. I really feel like patents need to change in terms of how they're decided that they are allowable or not.
Right.
You know, just novelty is not enough. That it needs to really be something that is critical to protecting your business, because these kinds of things hold back society. Look. Grouping Google speakers is probably not really holding back society that much.
But it holds back a lot of opportunity, a lot of cool things you can do, right? And I think they need to have the opportunity to use that technology. So no, this was a good move. Speaking of good moves, Google's AI is making traffic lights more efficient and less annoying. And this particular commentator is like, about time. I mean, come on. Yeah. Like this feels like it's been obvious for the longest time ever. I don't understand why it's taken us this long and this much traffic data to understand how to synchronize traffic lights to make traffic flow better. Maybe right. The problem's more complex than I understand, but I just, again, it seems super late to me. But hey, they're doing it. It's going to reduce carbon emissions substantially. It's going to reduce wait times at traffic lights. I'm all for it. I love it.
Yeah, this comes on the heels of the story that we talked about, I don't know, some number of weeks ago, where they were using machine learning and AI to reduce contrails, which helps reduce emissions.
Right, yeah, yeah,
so
yeah.
This is kind of in that same vein, and I dig it, right? If we can, because you look at traffic sometimes, and there's a green light, and there's no cars going, and I'm just sitting there at a red, white, what is happening
what's
here?
What's happening, yeah.
There is no reason for me to be sitting here.
I sat
here
for
idling.
Several minutes. I mean, it must have been 3 to 4 minutes one night at a traffic light. Literally, no other, not a soul on the road. And I'm just like, I mean, I could run it, but I know for sure I'm going to get pulled over magically if I do. So
right. That's, and you'll be just like, there was nobody here. And yeah, like, doesn't matter. That was still a red light. Really, I think the long-term goal of this is, and I don't really understand why we don't have this. We have cameras everywhere. Why don't traffic lights have cameras that then know how many cars are waiting and then
figure
all that stuff out?
Yeah.
Like, do some magic.
Say that hard.
Figure things out.
A little techno magic. You know
exactly.
Saying?
But talking about magic that's being used improperly, Tom Hanks calls out a dental ad for using an AI likeness of him.
Yeah, man.
I'm going to go ahead and do the other next one, too, because how an AI deepfake ad of Mr. Beast ended up on TikTok. So both of these ads were illegitimate. They were created using AI, hawking things that the person didn't approve of.
Yeah, I got a little small, tiny confession here. And that is that I saw the Mr. Beast ad on TikTok, and knowing how wild Mr. Beast is about giving things away, I did click on the ad. Now, I didn't go any further than that, but I clicked on the ad, and then actually nothing loaded. So maybe they were in the process of taking it down. Maybe it was getting massive. I don't know what happened, like a blank screen loaded. And then I realized, wait, let me go back and look at that again. I tried to click it again. No, let me look at it again. And then I looked at it for the first time, and it was clearly a deep fake. And so I was like, oh, that's the first deep fake ad that I've actually seen. And then I went about my day, and then I saw this article and was like, oh, well, I need to confess. So this is my confession to you and our audience.
The ad for Mr. Beast, what was it? Like, you clicked through and
it was the announcement. Yeah, the announcement was, I'm giving away 10,000 iPhones for $2 each. And so, which is totally something he would do, like 100% something he would do. And so I was like, I mean, that's totally within the realm of possibilities. Let me tap the ad. And, you know, of course, then I, again, realized it's deepfake and whatever. So you know, this is just the beginning of so much deep fakiness. It's going to be
wild. Believe anything on the internet except for
what
TikTok,
we
y'all.
Yeah, you can believe us, but no, absolutely no one else. Like, you cannot.
Yeah.
Can't believe anyone else.
So. And if your friends ask, you say everything on the internet's fake except for TikTok, y'all.
Yeah. All right. Now, next up, related to AI creation, Disney's Loki faces backlash over reported use of generative AI. So this was in a movie poster. And the backlash is because there were some background photos in some stock photo sites that had kind of this clock swirling out into oblivion, and some key observers of Disney's new posters saw that clock, but then it had the effects of generative AI. So if you looked like really closely, it had some glitches in the numbers and things like that. And so what clearly happened is somebody used generative AI to make this background. And in doing that, the generative AI stole the photography from a stock photography site. And so Disney is now facing backlash because of that. Sorry, that took a long time to get to that point, but this is kind of a big deal. And it really showcases the problems with generative AI right now.
So is the story that Disney used generative AI and it happened to use this stock photo? Or did they buy a stock photo that was...
No, I think they used generative AI that accidentally used a stock photo as a part of the generative AI generation process. And so the artists that created that original photo are not getting credit. They're not receiving any royalties. They're not, you know, they're not getting paid. So that's the ultimate problem here.
Huh. Interesting.
Yeah.
Talking about problems, the Israel-Hamas war is drowning X in disinformation. Mm-hmm. And everybody that's not on X is like, which is Twitter. Why do I call it X? Twitter.
You got to, man. You got to call it X.
I refuse. It's Twitter.
It's X.
No, it's not X. No, I refuse to call it X. That's Exhibit. Right. He gets the X, but not Twitter.
Fair.
It's drowning in disinformation.
Yeah.
And everybody that's not on Twitter is like, yeah, duh. This is why we all left. I left in November of last year. It's almost been a year for me now.
Yeah.
That I've been off of social media.
Yeah. I mean, it's terrible. Completely. It's terrible over there. I mean, it might as well roll to the next article too. So this is because it's all related. Europe gives Elon Musk 24 hours to respond about Israel-Hamas war, misinformation, and violence on X, formerly Twitter. And so they're like, hey, you're not moderating this stuff. There's tons of disinformation out there. You got to fix this stuff. And he's like,
Hey, imagine what happens when you fire the entire moderation and safety team.
Yeah.
It devolves into garbage.
Mm-hmm.
What these places should do is they should just block Twitter, because the next article, Twitter is at death's door 1 year after Elon Musk's takeover. Why does it even matter anymore? I think ISPs should just block it at the gates and be like, yeah, we're making an exception. You know, net neutrality, I'm all for that. But this one, like, no.
What does it take to get Sanjay to give up net neutrality? It takes Elon Musk taking over Twitter and tanking it. That's what's required, people. We now know the experiment has ended. All can go back to normal.
I think it's an exception to the rule. The rule is net neutrality.
Okay.
The exception is Twitter.
I feel like that is a big rule shift exception, but it is a death story.
I'm only kidding. I would not violate net neutrality for that, but really, maybe individuals should probably just put put Twitter on their personal block list allow anything to be loaded from there.
For real. All right. Speaking of loading, I guess Amazon prepares to challenge SpaceX's Starlink with maiden satellite launch. So apparently, Amazon wants to get into the internet satellite providing game with the whole like handheld, you know, receivers down on the ground and satellites in the air spinning around, spacing up junk and junking up space and
spacing up junk.
That's it. Yeah,
I think that might be the title of the show.
That's the title. I'm writing down right now.
So basically, what we're telling you is you can just give up on ever seeing stars again. That we're done. Like, you don't need stars. We're just going to litter the whole thing up with garbage.
Yeah.
And nobody's ever going to be able to go anywhere. We're going to be trapped for eternity until doom happens here on this planet.
Yeah, you can't, because you won't be able to get off the planet, because as soon as you fly up, the space truck's going to cut your spaceship in half.
The space will be junk and the junk will be space or something like that. There's another story that I didn't tag, but I saw that apparently Starlink is going to be launching cell phone service now too. So,
okay.
Because, you know, you need to have cell phone service everywhere on the planet for no reason.
I've been concerned.
And I can't
wait
to see these phones, because I'm telling you, I'm not going to buy one. No. Given everything we know about Elon Musk, I bet you these things are going to like irradiate your head and you're going to get cancer from these things. Yeah. I don't know this for a fact, but I'm just betting, because then he's going to be like, oh, I've got a company that'll help solve that for you. Put this Neuralink chip in your head.
Yeah, that's the play. Yeah. That's what he's going to do. You know, I've been thinking, you know, since I've been, you know, working from home and staying home, you know, way more than ever, that I need a satellite phone. Like, that's been the top of my mind. It's like, clearly that's a need now. So,
you know, what's funny is somebody asked me this a long time ago, back when the Iridium satellites were up.
Yeah.
And I told them, I was like, I just don't see the point of satellite anywhere on the planet phones until we're a species that's on multiple planets. Right.
Right.
Like, I get cell phones that work on any continent, because now we're at the point where we travel everywhere.
Right. Yeah.
But we don't.
We've already got that infrastructure. We've already got that.
Like,
yeah,
I don't think you need to get anyone anywhere if they're in the middle of the ocean. That's really, or the middle of a jungle.
Yeah.
And so,
or if they do, they can pay for a special satellite phone that is not needed by the masses. Right.
Right. Exactly.
Not needed by the masses. Right.
Yeah. Something that apparently wasn't wanted by the masses and now is gone, so it can't be needed by the masses. Amazon's live audio streaming platform, AMP, closes up shop. And I have one question. What is AMP?
What is AMP? That's what I was wondering. I was like,
I don't even know this thing.
Closes up shop. We've covered tech news for how many years?
I've never heard of this product.
Like, okay, listen. What is this thing? Of all the people on the planet, right? You and I, we read tech news a lot. We cover tech news a lot. And we don't even know about this basic, like, come on. Like, that's some bad, it's a bad, I mean, did you ever want it to succeed, Amazon? Like, really? Did you want it to?
It's been around since March 2022. So over a year, I've never heard of this product.
That's some straight garbage marketing is what that is.
And I'm a huge Amazon fan. We're Prime. We do the whole thing. I pay attention.
You got the t-shirts. You're wearing the hats. I mean, you're basically delivering packages for free just because you love it so much. I mean, I know.
Exactly.
You painted your car the Amazon blue. I mean, it's
I go to Whole Foods and drop off my returns. Like, I do all the things. Like, yeah. I've never heard of this thing.
Yeah. Anyway. All right, moving on. Genetics firm 23andMe says user data stolen in credential stuffing attack. And I specifically tagged this because I thought you might really not like it because I think you've used 23andMe, if I'm not mistaken.
I have 23andMe accounts. Me, my wife, my parents, her parents are all on there. Mm. I made sure I went in and deactivated the whole thing. But okay.
Isn't credential stuffing, like, isn't that like a pretty basic attack? Am I mistaken on that? Like,
so let's step through this. So credential stuffing is when an exploit happens on one site and they get access to all the logins and passwords.
Right.
And then they start taking those same logins and passwords and using it on all the other sites to see if you were dumb enough to use the same login and password on all the other sites.
So you don't have a problem because your 50 character password for every site is different. So
true.
Okay.
But so here's what they did. They logged in, and because of the ancestry or the like relative sharing thing, they were able to scrape data on everybody else that was related to the person that had their account compromised.
Okay.
And then publish all of that. So I already had my account set up so that none of my genetic information, none of that stuff was being shared.
Right.
And the most minimal that was shared was like my initials or something. So if somebody wanted to reach out, they could. So I'm not really at risk. My family's not really at risk, but a lot of people had everything kind of open to everybody because they turn this on and then they don't go look at the privacy settings.
Right.
All of these companies do the thing that they always do is like, oh, you want this. So you want everything, right? Mm. Everything out in the open. Yeah. And that's not really true. Okay. So here's the thing, the lesson for our listeners. Don't ever, ever use the same login and password on two different sites.
For real.
Okay, so first of all, yeah, logins you might because it's email addresses, but your passwords should never be.
Never be the same.
You should be using a password manager. But hey, if you want to be like me and take it up a notch, you should have your own domain, have all the emails from any address on that domain go to the same inbox, and then create different email addresses for every single site you sign up for.
Yeah. Well, and just so our Gmail users know, you can do that with Gmail too. I mean,
right. That one's an easier one to defeat because it's the plus thing.
Yeah.
Right? And that's pretty well known. What I do is everything before the at is different. So for them to piece those together algorithmically is a little bit harder to figure out that way.
Yeah.
Right.
No, in all fairness, like, I think just having a solid password manager pretty much solves this problem altogether. I mean,
that's
like,
definitely one part of it. Yeah. And pass keys are starting to come out, so they'll be better, but also enable two-factor authentication.
Yeah.
Like, there is no reason. If a site supports it, do it. And if you've got a good password manager, it will manage all of that stuff for you.
Yep.
So there you go.
Do it all.
And then you can also, if you're from California, ask for your stuff to be deleted. So Newsom, who's the governor of California, signs bill that would make it easier to delete online personal data.
Okay, I have a question for
you. I need an address in California.
That's what I was going to ask you.
Yes. Yes.
I was literally about to ask you that. Oh my gosh. How did you know? I was like, I bet Sanjay rents an apartment in California for like 1 month and he's like, hey, get rid of all my stuff. Like, that's, you know.
So here's the problem that we've talked about this in the past where California leads the nation. They do all this stuff. And then we're like, oh, all the rest of us will benefit for this.
But not on
this one. There's just too much money in this.
Yeah.
So these companies are like, oh, if you're not California, I'm not doing it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so either one, we all need all the states to pick up and do the same thing.
Right.
And some of these wacko states are not going to do it, unfortunately. Or we all need to figure out how to have an address in California.
Yeah. Right.
So I'm working on that.
You're working on it? Okay.
I don't know. Cool. I don't know how to do that. Maybe we rent a, you know, those rental addresses in the UPS stores and things like that.
Yeah.
Maybe you do that and be like, that's where I live.
That's my address. I need to get some mail there. Okay. Anyway, speaking of things you get in the mail, eBay could owe $1.9 billion. That's billion dollars in fines for allowing sale of 343,000 emissions defeating devices. So apparently there are these devices out there that will defeat emissions tests so that people can just pollute all willy-nilly. And that's like a thing for some reason.
Yeah.
And now eBay's response was like, hey, listen, we actually like take off 99% of devices. 99.9% of devices like that. So they're basically saying like in the scale of what we're doing, we're removing, you know, everything that's humanly possible. And that actually may be true, but still like that, like I'm just shocked that somebody takes the time to create the technology to beat him. It seems like you're like, it's so many workarounds, like just fix the car, man. It's not that hard. Like, and I say, man, cause I don't think any women would ever be stupid. Like,
I'm sure there probably are, I think anybody that's caught with something like this should basically have their driver's license revoked totally for life.
100% done.
Because
you don't get to drive anymore.
You're basically saying, Uber. You know what? I don't care about the health and safety of anybody else on the planet.
Yeah.
And done.
Anyway, I totally agree.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Next up, Atlassian, which I'm a huge fan of, by the way.
Yeah, man.
To acquire former unicorn Loom.
I'm also a huge fan of.
Yeah. For $975 million. Here's the bone I have to pick with the title of this.
Okay.
Former unicorn.
I know.
$975 million.
But I think
20. It used to be $1.5 billion.
Yeah, I mean, that's a big dip from $1.5. I think that was the point of the article.
Come on. Still $975 million.
It is hated to be like, former unicorn. Ha, yeah. Ha, ha.
I mean, that's throwing shade for nothing. Like did you create a company that was worth $975 million?
Yeah. So,
right?
No, like, I'm a big fan of Loom, though. And I think, like, asynchronous. And what this tells me is this. So Atlassian is huge on teams being able to collaborate together and all the tools that allow teams to collaborate together.
Yep.
And what Atlassian is recognizing is the dire need for a very solid asynchronous solution that includes video. Because listen, people are terrible. I mean, terrible communicators, like so bad. Like it's shocking how bad they are.
Yeah.
And so if you have something where you can do audio and video and somebody can share their screen easily, it makes communication so much better and it's so streamlined and it's so well done. Like Loom is fantastic. And so I think this is a great move. Hopefully they'll make it even better. Maybe make it even cheaper. I use the free account right now. I'd love to not have to do that, but you know, we'll see. So
I wonder if any of our listeners are thinking right now, pot kettle, by you saying people are terrible communicators and they're like, yeah, you two are terrible communicators.
I mean, maybe, but I was thinking about this the other day. Like for example, okay, great example. Uh-huh. I got a Slack message from a coworker, kind of quasi coworker the other day, not really coworker, volunteer coworker.
You can say it's me. That's fine.
It wasn't you. The message was, I can't log in to so-and-so. That's the message. And I'm like, okay. like, if you need something, ask me a question. If you need something, like, if you like, do you have the login for so-and-so? Can you help me log in? No, I can't log in. That's a statement. Okay.
That sounds like a bad day that you're having.
I can't baby communicate anymore. Like I'm done with that. Like if you can't do it, I'm not going to baby communicate anymore with anybody. So if somebody makes a statement and they're just expecting me to like infer what that means and what I'm supposed to do, like I'm not going to just, okay. That's my,
you know,
my
what you reminded me of is okay. The Office clip where Andy and Michael are talking in baby talk back and forth.
I will not do that. That's not going to happen. So, all right. Oh man, I was hoping I wasn't going to get this one. All right. I think this school is it Gallaudet?
Gallaudet.
Gallaudet. See, I was really hoping I wasn't going to get it. All right. Gallaudet football used brand new 5G powered helmets this week to help its deaf athletes. This is super cool.
Gallaudet is actually pretty well known. They are a deaf college.
I assume that's what it was, right?
So yeah, every student is either hard of hearing or deaf completely.
Right. Right. And they wanted their football players to be able to receive signals or receive calls from the coach And so they've got a 5G enabled helmet, and it's got like a little augmented reality little thing, a little screen in there, and like some symbols will flash up on the screen, and then they know what play is being called, and then they can, you know, do their thing, which is kind of amazing.
The thing that I wonder though is, how does this not get taken to the, maybe there's rules around this, like, hey, it's only for plays and not like real time, because I can imagine as a quarterback then.
Look left, look left. Got, like they're signaling him to look left, and he's like, yeah, they're controlling right, the like, yeah, that's true.
Like actually knowing what the entire field looks like.
Yeah, yeah, you can really
what
cheat
people
that
are
way.
Doing yeah. and predictive analysis of what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Then you could.
Well, this was a test case, first of all. Right. So, I mean, it was a test. So they're still figuring it out. But I love that they're using this technology to help people that have that need. That's so
right.
important. So,
to be football players, even though you can't hear. And
yeah, it's great.
Never really thought about that as an issue.
More power to them. No, I'm not. Awesome. Football's not for me. Now, I mean, I'll watch it, but I don't ever want to. I don't want to get hit.
Like same here. I am not built for that.
I would break.
I would break as well. But talking about fixing things that are broken, Rice engineered material can reconnect severed nerves. You heard that right.
Dude,
this is incredible.
That's crazy. We're getting into some deep science here.
They have a magneto-electric material that basically kind of bridges the gap. Mm-hmm. And they've done this on rats. First of all, I feel very bad for animals that they do these testing on. Like, I understand
I
we need
too.
It and stuff, but it's like,
it's
hey, you're perfectly fine. I'm going to paralyze you so I can test this out.
I mean, I guess on the flip side, they were bred for it. So like, maybe that makes you feel a little better.
It's a little gross. There's no other way to test it, I guess. So, so they figured out this material, and they've had challenges with other materials in the past, and they've kind of figured this out, and it bridges the gap.
It's amazing.
Obviously, it's not been tried in humans yet.
Yeah, right.
But this could be really, really interesting. There's a lot of details in the article. It's a press release from Rice University. But if you're
stuff I don't understand,
if you're an electrical engineer like me, it's like, oh, it's super fascinating. It's like piezoelectric layers. I mean, it's pretty neat. All the stuff in there. I don't 100% understand it either because I'm not all that sciencey anymore. But it's pretty neat, and so hopefully it could mean good things for people
that mean
have
great things.
Accidents and are paralyzed. So there you go.
All right. So for our listeners, I'm going to have to apologize for this transition because we're going to go from material that can reconnect severed nerves to Kendall Jenner's AI chatbot has arrived, and it's scary realistic. And so this is a chatbot from Meta, and Kendall Jenner is just one of many celebrities that will be that it will have a chatbot of. And each celebrity has a different personality. So, for example, there's going to be a Mr. Beast chatbot, AI chatbot, that's supposed to be funny. Like, that's it. Like, and it's not called Mr. Beast. He's called something. So, like, Kendall Jenner's chatbot is called Billy. Yeah. Mr. Beast is called Zach. And
Snoop Dogg is Dungeon Master for some reason.
Yeah. For like your games, like maybe he's going to like be a legit Dungeon Master. Like, is that an aspect of Snoop Dogg we didn't know about? I don't know.
Does he play D&D? Maybe
I don't
know. D&D.
Maybe so. I mean, he totally, he'd be a great
I could be,
D&D
I could get
master.
Back into D&D if I was real. Playing with Snoop Dogg.
If he's the Dungeon Master?
Not as a chatbot, like the real Snoop Dogg.
Yeah. I would probably go like take an accounting course if I could sit next to the real Snoop Dogg in the accounting course. Like I would like there's a lot of really
is that like the most boring thing you could think of?
I mean,
an accounting course?
I didn't do well in accounting and I really didn't enjoy it. So yeah, it's one of the worst things I could think of. I mean, it's like off the top of my head, like that's what comes to mind. I would go sit at the DMV for 5 hours if I could sit next to Snoop Dogg. That's all I'm trying to say. Like that seems like a good
option. It would be pretty hilarious. And knowing that he's friends with Martha Stewart, just makes, ever since that friendship started, it's made me think differently about Snoop Dogg.
It's kind of, well, like I like those kind of, like, for, like, also Michelle Obama and, like, George W. Bush being friends. Like,
right.
Like, it's just, there's just something kind of sweet about it. It's like, I don't know what it is. It's like, it's kind of amazing. So,
well, also, when I heard that Laura Bush, George W. Bush's wife, likes Bob Marley, I was like, wait, what?
Who knew?
Time
Who knew?
For the Weird and Wacky segment.
Abominable snowman.
He's not an expert.
One of the TAs turned out to be a bot. First up on Weird and Wacky, Google has open sourced a hat shaped like a giant keycap, and it actually types.
Yeah.
So this is actually out of Google Japan, right?
Which apparently does like wacky stuff like this, relatively regularly. I didn't know that about Google Japan, but like they've got a good sense of humor, I guess.
I wonder how many of their projects have been killed off.
I mean, clearly this hat is one, but no, I mean, it's like, It's a stupid project. It's a stupid hat. It's kind of glorious. You should go look at the article just for the photos, but it does actually work. And that I find that truly humorous. So what I absolutely do not find humorous is this next story. Have you read this and are you terrified? That's what I want to know.
Yes, I have read this and I am terrified.
All right. Next article, Ghost in the Machine, How Fake Parts Infiltrated Airline Fleets. And so, no, you did not hear that incorrectly. Apparently there is a company out of London that faked a bunch of safety certifications and faked, like, I think it said like 60 different documents.
Yep.
And somehow managed to sell parts for jet plane engines that were not authentic parts. They manufactured and sold fake parts. And so the quote from the article said, bonus parts have been found on 126 engines and are all linked to the same parts distributor in London. So, like, that's terrifying. I don't know that any of them have failed. But the other question is, like, why? Like, this feels like so much work to go to make a little money. Like, why? Like, why?
Potentially a lot of money because they sold refurbished parts as if they were new.
Oh, okay.
And the markups. And here's the level of, like, insidiousness that they got. So these were all for a company. I don't know what the full name of the company is, but it's CFM. Okay. It's their engines that are used on all these planes that these parts have shown up in. Even the company themselves bought bogus parts.
What?
So they didn't know it. And they used those bogus parts in engines as well.
What? No.
Which is just crazy. And you know what? We talked about this a little while ago. People defeating emissions and saying that, you know, they don't care about humans. Like, this is like a billion times worse
so
to me.
Scary, man.
Because
this
is like, hey, I just want to make money and I don't care if people fall out of the sky and die.
Yeah, for real. Like, right? That's
this person crazy. For sure. If it is true, it's obviously just alleged. We don't know all the details. Maybe there's their side of the story and they're not talking.
Right.
But so, if it is true, this person should definitely not be involved in anything. Maybe they can be a beet farmer like Dwight or something.
They'll be in jail. I think they'll be in jail for sure. Yeah.
That's the most responsibility. Yep. A beet farmer in jail is what they should be.
Perfect.
And finally, if you're trying to decide something and you said, like, hey, let's flip a coin about this, maybe it's not as fair as you thought. Flipped coins found not to be as fair as thought. And the first thing that this jumped to in my mind was, you know, they always highlight the coin toss at the Super Bowl about who's receiving and kicking off. And now maybe that's not so fair.
It's not as fair. No. So do you want to describe the theory behind it or should I? Because it's interesting.
Yeah. So I'll give a couple of details. So they basically did an experiment. They said that, hey, there would be a slight difference based on the side of the coin that it started out. So before you flipped it, indicating kind of what it's going to fall on. So the same side falling that it started on, and just a slight difference, about 1%. So they actually did an experiment involving, this is crazy, 48 people flipping coins minted in 46 countries.
Yep.
So to prevent any kind of design bias for the coins.
Yep.
For a total of 350,757 coin flips.
That's a lot of coin flips. Yep.
My thumb just is tired thinking about that many coin flips.
Mm-hmm.
And they said that it landed on the same side as it started out with 50.8% of the time. So really close to almost 1% over.
And the theory behind it is fascinating. It's that essentially if the coin starts heads up, then by default, the coin is going to see more rotations as heads up than it does heads down, because that's how it started. It started in that position. So that one starting position gives it that 1% edge over the other, which is kind of crazy.
So I wonder if, and like this blows up all the math probability. I think I probably need to go back and look at my classes that I took and be like, hey, I need you to improve my grade.
I'm going to need some better
because
grades.
Some bonus points, because what you taught me was wrong. But I wonder if can you flip a coin from its edge?
I was wondering the same thing. Like what happens if it's on the edge? That would theoretically fix the problem. But how would you even, you hold it maybe up and down vertically with one hand, like flip it with the other and
flip it.
I think that solves the problem.
I have a feeling I would take an eye out doing that.
I think we're going to need to create a coin flip device that fixes this problem. Because clearly, like, everybody is going to be like, oh, we can't flip coins anymore. My life is over. So everybody's going to need advice. So let's
sell a bespoke version to the Super Bowl people.
That's it.
Every year you have to have a new one because it has the Super Bowl number on it. and that's only going to be $10,000. That's actually the domain that we should come up with, coinflipper.com or something.
All right, Sanjay, it's Tech Rec time. What do you have for us this week?
So I have been on the hunt for a good battery charger. I had one before. I might have recommended it before. The Nightcore battery charger, but it was very temperamental, that previous one. So I found a new one. I think that is.
And by battery charger, you mean like reusable AA battery charger?
AAA.
Okay, you could have been talking car or house. Something. I'm just making sure. Okay,
Household batteries.
Got it. Okay, got it.
Nickel metal hydride, lithium ion.
Got it.
All the things, everything except alkaline. You know, alkalines can't be recharged. But this one has 8 bays, and it's got a little. The design is nice because it's got a little bit of curve at the bottom, so it really nestles the battery in the right spot. That was my problem with my previous one, is that a little bit of jiggling and it would disconnect, and I didn't like that. So this one, I also like the fact that it's not USB-based. So many of the battery chargers are now USB-based, and those seem to be a little temperamental too. So this
I just got a Panasonic one that plugs straight into the wall, man.
This is a plug straight into the wall, little jack into the thing, 8 of them. And it tells you all the things you want to know, the internal resistance, how much it's charged, all of those things. So internal resistance, you should really pay attention to as that goes up, which it does over time with reusable batteries. That means the battery has less and less life. And at some point you need to toss it because it's not going to hold much juice anymore because of that. So
when you toss it, does it land heads up or down?
It depends on the way that it starts, is what it depends on. But this one is called the MyBoxer 8-Bay Smart Charger. Check it out in the show notes for a link to Amazon and see if you want one yourself there. So
that's great.
What about you, Adam? What do you have for this week? Something that doesn't need batteries, it looks like.
I mean, you have to recharge it.
It's got built-in batteries.
Yeah. So I can't remember if Mickey recommended this when he was on the show, but I'm going to recommend the Kindle Scribe. So I haven't even told you about this because we haven't even talked this week, but I decided last week to buy a Kindle Scribe. And at first I wasn't going to. I was kind of like, I don't need that. And man, turns out I need it. It's so great. So here's the thing. Okay. Here are the selling points.
Okay.
Number one, if you read a lot, reading on a much larger screen makes it a whole lot easier, especially with nonfiction books, to skim through sections that you don't need to read. So I can now read so much faster with this than I could on the tiny Paperwhite, which I love like that. Cause you know, I read a ton. So now I should be able to get through even more books because I have more surface area. The other thing is, I love taking handwritten notes during meetings, but I've been, you know, using a notebook for years, and notebooks, I mean, they use paper. Those are materials. Like, I don't really like that it's using materials. I have to buy new notebooks and all that stuff. So this solves that problem. The other thing that I just sort of discovered yesterday and is just beautiful is I'm able to like the part of the Kindle Scribe's beauty is you can take a PDF and you can just write all over that PDF and it just saves it perfectly. Right. Yeah. Wow. Right. You know, so you can sign documents, whatever. But what that also means is I can create the perfect daily planner for myself in Canva. And then I can send that to my Kindle Scribe for the month of October. And I've got a daily planner for October that's all written up and marked up. And it's beautiful and is exactly what I wanted because I created it. And so that's just amazing. And I love it. So it's the greatest device. I'm really enjoying it. I like the Pro Pen better than the basic pen. I got the 16 gig, the smallest version, because I don't need that much space on there. I'll just get rid of books as I don't need them. So it's fantastic.
So I recently saw somebody with one of those Remarkable.
Remarkable's great too, but you can't read your books.
They loved it.
Yeah, but you can't read your books. That's the problem. So for me, because I read over an hour a day, I want one device where I can read all my books and take all my notes and do all my planning. And like that's the Kindle Scribe in perfection.
So I tried out their Remarkable and it felt exactly like writing pen on paper.
Oh, yeah.
How does this feel like it, in terms of that?
There's no lag at all. And it's got like just enough of that friction to feel like it's pen or pencil on paper. And it even like the styluses even wear down over time, and they give you like little replacement stylus tips for it, because it literally, there is some degree of friction intentionally on it. So whereas like when you're writing on an iPad, it's like super slick because it's a glass screen, and that's the nature of it. This is not that at all. It's got a very nice feel to it.
So does this mean that the screen on the Kindle is going to wear at some point as well?
I don't know. I mean, it's the first generation. I don't think so. I would think hopefully they would have accounted for that, but don't know. I haven't seen any marks or any evidence of any marks on mine, and I haven't seen any reviews. And it's been out for 6 to 8 months now. I haven't seen any reviews that claim that. And I assume several people are using this quite a bit every day.
Right.
So I assume it'll hold up just fine. So
that's cool.
It's a fantastic device.
I need to think about something like this.
I'll show you. I'll give you a little behind the scenes tour after we're done recording. You'll love it. It's great. So,
love it.
All right, Sanjay, how can our listeners find and connect with you?
They can find me at sanjayparekh.com. That's the place. I guess you can find me on LinkedIn too, if you really
don't
want
bother
to hunt me down.
Don't bother. Yeah. Sanjayparekh.com. That's where it's at.
What about you, Adam?
AdamJWalker.com. I did recently write a blog post. I wrote a blog post about the most recent 48 and 48 weekend. So if you're not familiar with 48 and 48 and free websites for nonprofits, you should go check it out at AdamJWalker.com and sign up for my newsletter. Doo doo doo!